You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boyd Owls.
Right, so we're here, mate, lads, aren't we, to talk about Movember and what we're doing for it. Unfortunately, the other, how many is it, eight lads can't be doing it, can they? Work commitments, kids, family stuff. So yeah. We'll introduce ourselves initially for people that might not know us, and then we'll talk about how we got going with the WIDs, how you both got dragged there, how I got dragged there, and then we'll have a little chat about Movember and why we're doing it, what it means to us, why we've got the muzzies we've got. So I'll start then. So those that might not know, I am the voice of Trot the Egg In. I do everyone's head in weekly, but my real job is I'm a grave digger. So I'm around sadness, joy, I'm around all that all the time anyway. So I got to go the WIDs through high school, it was. So we played rugby league up until high school, and then my school sort of, if you played rugby league, you had to play rugby union. The WIDs invited us down one day to play against the Cumbria select team, I think, before a first team game. Went down, played a game, had to go and ball boy at Widnes, so left early. And then I ended up signing for the club. Was at the club for a couple of years, and then I went back to rugby league at the Marys. And then at under 16s, I went back to the WIDs, and I was just flicking back in two then. So yeah, that's my journey to meeting you two fine men. So Anthony, how about you, mate? Where did you grow up school wise, and how did you get to the WIDs?
So I grew up on Cradley, not just down the road from the WIDs, really. And in all that time, I never played for the club. I went to Banky. We did a bit of rugby union there, but not a lot. It was predominantly football or rugby league. And then I've come to the WIDs towards the end of any rugby playing days, to be honest. About two seasons ago, I ended up having a few beers in there with Mike Rendell, and we got talking in there. And that's how it all starts, isn't it? You think you can take on the world after a couple of beers. And I love it, to be honest. It's a fantastic club. The lads are great. Through all teams, to be honest, this whole one club mentality that they're trying to put out there, it really works. Or it is working anyway, yeah.
Joshua?
Yeah, Josh Kenyon, played at the WIDs ever since I was five, played through every age group, believe it or not, every team I played for, including third team, second team, first team. Got took up there when I was younger. R. James played up there. R. James played up all the way through all the age groups as well. I don't really what more you want to say about it. I just played up there.
Did you play when you were in Spain?
Say again.
Did you play when you went to Spain?
Yeah, when I moved to Spain, I played over there. The age teams were ridiculous over there. I was 11 playing against 17-year-olds. It was absolutely horrific.
Well, but you come back with an attitude. I used to wait coaching you.
You and Arnie, yeah.
Yeah, you were a pain in the ass, mate. Trying to send you wrong all the time.
Scrum half in me.
Right, so, yeah, but so basically, in one way or another, we've all met through the club, haven't we?
Yeah.
I stopped playing before, Anthony. You've come, and I don't think I quite got to play in the same team, Josh, did we? Or for a year or two, maybe?
We played 1 year first team, yeah.
Right, so effectively, it doesn't matter what team you're playing for, because you're playing for the WIDs, isn't it? Which Anthony said, it's the one club mentality in that. And the club have been great to get behind us with most things, don't they? Whether it was deckheads, whether it was the YouTube videos, like teammates, they tend to push things for us. And I'm pretty sure they'll push this as well. So how did the idea of Movember come about, and who wants to take this on first, and how we all get dragged into it? Is it gone to Ant, has it?
Go on,
you're bottling it.
No. Everyone knows Mike Rendell, don't they? He drags me into everything every year. He dragged me up playing for the Wids. This is the multiple times now he's dragged me into Movember. But it's for a good cause at the end of the day, isn't it? And the way what we're doing is multiple good causes. Obviously, we're raising money for cancer research and trying to put out to break a stigma around mental health.
And we're hoping to encourage exactly what we're doing here, which is chatting in it. And it's, I suppose it's quite easy when we're amongst mates, isn't it? Just to, like you said, and open up over a beer, whether it's before a game, over a coffee or a Red Bull or whatever. They can happily sponsor us if they want. it's just that opening that line of chat, fellas, isn't it? And I think we've been pretty good at it. So I won't lie, I probably started it a few years ago, didn't we, Josh, really, mate? I think there was one year it was just me and you, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was, yeah.
I've done a few things, yeah. It's all right, no. So initially, I used to do it just on my bill, not really for money, just to break a cause, because like a lad I lived across the road from, sadly, passed from testicular cancer. He was young, so I used to grow a beard for the Mark Goddy Foundation. So Mark was a keen footballer, a good DJ, a handsome lad, and sadly he lost his life to it quite early. But I done that, and then I think it weren't long after that, Josh, I might have dragged you in on it, mate, might it? And we might have done a couple of years on our own, might we? And then
I think we've done. Well, from what I can remember, I think we've done maybe the last 5 years at least, from what I can remember. I've always been interested in doing it, raising awareness and raising money for any types of charities that we've done it for. Past couple of years that I can remember, we've done it obviously for Movember itself, that charity and Andy's Man Club, and you know, this year obviously doing it for cancer research, you know, which I think all of us here have, you know, a story to tell regarding why we're raising money for such a big cause, and obviously to raise awareness for mental health as well in November. But obviously we should be doing it all the time, really, because, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And I think it's a massive talking point in it, mental health.
Yes, and I suppose the changing room, very much a banter place, and it you two know more than me now. I'm left behind. I'm an old man now when it comes to a changing room, but I can imagine years ago it was somewhat difficult, wasn't it? Men were men and they didn't speak about that sort of thing, and obviously, like, women are a bit better than us at it, aren't they? I think it's scientifically proven they're a bit more emotionally there, and I do think we're getting better. So that's how we started, Josh, won it, and we used to put the word out and want people to come on, and then next minute there's 3 names, 5 names, 9 names, 11 names. That's when my auntie said Mike got involved, and Andy Clark gets involved, doesn't he? And like Arnie used to, Chris Hall used to, but now we've got a good group. Tom Max, a solid one now, JP's there, so there's plenty of us in the group chat. Neil this year looking young, having this year getting IDs for a bull, but we're getting there. So this basically what we're trying to do is tell our little stories to combine into the greater cause, aren't we? So I'm more than happy to say Movember and what it means to me. So Movember means raising awareness, doing people's head in, bringing attention to causes. Like you said, we've had many causes, haven't we? And they're the key ones, really. Men United as well. I think we've done one year, Josh, didn't we?
Yeah.
So it's about people knowing there's an avenue. The donations are a bonus, aren't they? Let's say it quite a bit on our group chat. We've got it. It's not irrelevant, but it semi is irrelevant. Whether we get the amount we're looking for. It's about raising awareness to them causes, doing it for people that have mattered to us. So I've lost my granddad, he had cancer a couple of years ago. My dad's had it two or three times, and thankfully he's still here. And I had a scare when I was a kid. I'd spoke briefly off camera with you, off recording with you, but I had a lump right through school and just didn't pardon the French after balls to do out about it. And the lump was in the scrotum, but because of people I've met, like Mark, that had sadly passed, people that have come through, like Alan Carr, another mate, Sean O'Connor, had a little scare. So that's how I had to do something about it, because I wasn't well worrying about it either. Going in is intimidating. I won't lie, it was a woman doctor, and she has to have a feel around and stuff. That doesn't help. And then you go for an ultrasound, but you're waiting weeks for a letter, and then you're waiting weeks for an appointment. And then the only break in that cycle was rugby. So I would throw myself into Tuesday, Thursday training, Colts training, playing both of a weekend, both days on a weekend. And then the ultrasound was done by two women. So that's a bit more intimidating again. And it's, don't worry, love, we've seen plenty of it. And I don't think they'd seen many as little. but they'd seen them. But no, it's all like, there's a fella outside who's going through it, and he's like, oh, you're all right, mate, you're young, you'll get through it. And without being rude to him, it was the last thing I wanted to hear. I was shitting myself, and you don't know what the crack is. And then you're waiting 2 weeks for results, and when you get that letter and it says you're all right, it's not dangerous. It's a pure, like, relief. It's not euphoric, but you're, like, knackered, because you've just been emotionally battered for, like, 8 or 10 weeks, but at least I was okay. So they're my reasons, and I just want to do our little bit to maybe, if it's not raise money to help someone, get someone just to talk, just to check themselves, really. That's why I do it. So if one of yous want to discuss why you do it, that'd be great.
Do you want to go, Josh?
Don't I'll let you go, mate.
Okay. So when I was a lot younger, my granddad went into hospital with, we were told he had a broken hip, and I was very young at the time. He probably did. And a few days later he passed away, but it wasn't until years later, actually, I think I was in my 20s, and my mum made a comment that he was riddled with cancer. So since then, it's never really a conversation I've had with the family. But that's all I've been told, really. Like I said, it's not something I've brought up since. It comes as a shock that no one told me, or no one told us back then when it happened, like.
How did you process it, mate? Was it hard to get your head around?
No, not really. It just comes as a bit of a shock, really. Like I said, it's not even a conversation that I've had since. It's just something I've been told, and I've kind of suppressed it to the back of my mind type thing. It's not something I've really brought up. this is what we're here for, isn't it? To get things.
No, it is, mate. It is. Yeah. Well, Josh, passing the book like you have done throughout this so far.
That's all right. No, with myself, like I said briefly off camera with you both before, my grandma passed away this year, back in June. But previous to that, she had cancer 3 times. The last time she had it, she was diagnosed with bowel cancer. From what I got told, she had the keel surgery, got removed, was fine, and then about 18 months later, it came back again. Bowel cancer came back on, you know, a different side of the bowel, basically. And she unfortunately ended up passing away. I think the cancer was a major impact into it, she was deteriorating quite a lot, but also she ended up passing away via a stroke in the end. It was tough to see her actually struggle with cancer. But I tell you what, something about this older generation, they're just tough as nails, and I don't think I could have coped with something like that. It would have let me alive, but she ended up embracing it and lived every day to the full, and that's my grandma for
it. My granddad was similar, so we got told. So really, he went in hospital because he was having like radiotherapy and that previous, and he was basically. He was told to ring me nan and tell me nan he didn't have lung. But he rung up like us, me and my sister, while we were at me nan's, and we had to give me nan the phone. And then it's the ripple effect as well, lads, isn't it? It's not just the affected, which is what we'll move on to now, hopefully. But yeah, and we had to sit and watch me nan break down, and granddad took it like a champ, really, and spoke quite openly about it. We got given 3 months. He lasted 11 and a half. So it's like you said, that generation are just different level beasts at these. But yeah, he didn't mourn about it once. He didn't he didn't stop what he normally done, basically, mate. He just took it in his stride. And it was only the last week I noticed he deteriorated, mentioned it to my sister and my dad. They went and checked and said, yeah, he's not great. And then the Thursday night, make sure you put the lottery on, John, and give me the tickets back tomorrow. And he died late in the morning. So, yeah, it's a shame, innit? But they are just a different mentality. I'm a bit like you. I don't think I could have took it well. But the ripple effects as well. So these avenues we're putting out there and we're posting about a lot, lads, aren't just for the affected, are they? It's the ripple effects and the people because I know Josh a little bit better, aren't he? But your mum cared for your nan, mate, didn't she, Josh? And
it's
your mum. It's you seeing your mum having to do with it. And then it's like Liv having to see you too. And same with Murdy and James and stuff, mate. So it's the wider family and friendship group that suffers. And the avenues are open to them as well, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And
I was saying, like, Anthony as well, Anthony, like, got told later on, didn't he? And it's like, I had a struggle to fathom that initially. Like, I can imagine what do you say as well, though, mate? There's no you can say, is there, when you get told that?
No, it just comes more of a shock, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what was you going to say then, Josh, sorry, about James?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, if you, within that family network, you all just pull through together in the end, don't you? And, you know, you all come together and get round the whole family. And that's the main thing about it, really.
Yeah. No, you do. You get to see the best of people and the worst of people, mate. And life has a funny way of showing you that. So our process of deciding, we were I've tagged us as the Muzzy Lads, haven't I, this year? So the whole idea, we floated ideas about, we've got a WhatsApp group, haven't we? And it was, who do we raise for one? So we decided Cancer Research Fellows, didn't we? Because we've been quite broad in the past. Yeah. We've had lads like that wanted one charity, and someone else said, oh, well, I'd like this. And in the end, you raise for three or four, and without being rude, it's probably a bit too many. It's not a lot of money spread across a lot of charities, unfortunately. It's just not viable, feasible, is it?
No.
So why did we go through we went for this year? And who were the main people that brought it up?
Well, I'll say on this,
yeah.
Well, we obviously put a WhatsApp group together, didn't we? And we basically said, like, who would people like to raise money for? Obviously, in the past, we've done a lot to do with mental health, and, you know, we've raised money for that. And, you know, we said about cancer research being at the top of the agenda, and quite a lot of people actually agreed to it. Because quite a lot of people, obviously, in the group have been affected by it. And obviously, do you want me to talk about, obviously, how we come to the idea of the Tashes or what? Or
But we might as well now, and me and Ant will chime in when we feel fit enough to, and when it means something.
Yeah, so then we come up with the idea of, you know, because every year we just grow just a standard tash. Well, John doesn't usually do a standard tash. It's usually like a handlebar, and it's absolutely fantastic.
I mix it up.
Yeah, but obviously this year we all came together and we all said, like, you know, let's make it a bit of a fun side to it this year, and let's all not choose what we're going to have. So, you know, we get two hats out, put names in one hat, put 10 pictures of different mustaches into another hat, and then it was whatever hat get pulled out. So whatever mustache gets pulled out with a name, that's what you have to do in the end. So some lads have got absolute shockers, Matty Walker. But you
wasn't
know,
a fix, Matty, honestly.
But you know, we can't wait to see some of the lads' sashes, and the progress is going really well. So we'll have to keep it going
for years. I'm like Moroccan sunset. He's a jet. He is.
Mine will go ginger eventually.
Yeah. So, Ant, did you have a preferable one, mate, or was you not bothered what you got?
No, I wasn't really too bothered with what I got, because at the end of the day, in 30 days, it's not going to look anything like what it's supposed to anyway.
Josh, what was you after?
To be honest, mine goes quite really dark and quite thick, so I was hoping for just like a yard brush, something like that, like a proper Dick's drawbridge. That's what I was after. The chateau. That's what I was after.
How old are you? You're on about yard, a proper yard, bro.
Well, there's a bloke in our work. There's a bloke in our work who literally looks like Dick Strawbridge with his sash. Like, it's absolutely massive. And we always take the piss in work, saying like, "Wouldn't you just love a yard brush like as a sash like this?" Like, honestly,
wonder how he trims that.
Oh, God, honestly, it is absolutely fantastic.
Was that the picture you put on the group the other week?
Yeah, that's Dick Strawbridge. Yeah, he's I can't remember. It's something called something like Escape to the Chateau or something. It was on Channel 4. It was like
it's a posh programme, man.
Oh yeah, nothing to do with me.
No, me, mate. Can't tell us there, Eddie. I don't watch all that. So I like. Was it? So I think I've got the Hungarian. Was it? The Imperial. So if it weren't the Imperial, it was the Hungarian, I like.
I think I got the Imperial, you know, John.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I think I got the Hungarian with the little flick. People can't see it, but there is a little summit here.
The Imperial and the Hungarian have both got flicks, but the Imperial one's more emphasised on the flick.
That's the one that's class, that, but you're not a chance you're going to get that curl in 30 days, is there?
No,
is that what you got, Anthony?
Yeah, it's not
class gonna... one, that though.
I know, we should make a rule that no one can shave them off until they're done.
Go, I'm happy with that. I'm happy
go
with
the whole hog.
That. Yeah, that's a good point, that, but yeah, man. So mine is the, but like I told you, it's like off recording, the Turkish barber just ripped me. Basically, and just done me like the standard one and brought me out a little bit. But yeah, so that's how we come to that, wasn't it? And to be fair, everyone done a good buy-in, didn't they? They took it well, and we mentioned the club a lot because they're quite well behind it, and we need the bit of bump off the club, don't we? So, excuse me, I know he gets a lot of stick off, lads, but Leon Horton's really good at pushing us on the socials, and that he's also good at winding opponents up as well, but mainly good at pushing stuff for us, isn't he? And he's very supportive. The club are very supportive. So are yous about Saturday?
I'm not too sure. I don't know what's going on with our game at the minute. I've heard rumours that Northwich have folded.
All right, okay. Good deal. I know they were struggling at the start of the year, to be honest, mate, just to raise a sort of first team. I don't know if the money's gone or I don't know if they got relegated or the money went or something like that. I think they've been picked up a little bit.
I have no idea. It's just one of the Winnington Park players said to Quinny on Saturday. He was up there and they folded, so he's gone to Winnington.
They literally just play over the fence, don't they?
Oh, I don't know, mate. Every time we get to play, one of them calls it.
Mate. Did he? So Winnington Park. Have you played there, Josh?
Yeah, long time ago.
So alongside that main pitch on the right of Winnington Park's club, there's just an old school council fence, and then it's Northwich. They play it like a sport complex. Lots of sports there. Yeah. But they have their own little shed at the back of it with a bit of a bar in it and a few changing rooms and a block of showers and that. But hopefully your game's on. But if anyone wants to come up and ask us about what's going on and why we're doing it and what it means to us, we're open to a chat, aren't we? I'll be about the club Saturday. If the game's on or off, I'll be up there anyway. So people know where we are and who we are, and we'll get on to push it. So any messages for people that are contemplating donating, lads? Joshua, before you pass it on again.
Any what, sorry?
Any message to people that are thinking of donating and haven't quite yet, or are stuck in not talking but need to talk or want to talk? Any message for people like that?
Well, I'll just say it quite briefly. I've been through mental health issues myself, and you know, I still find it hard to talk to about it now. I'll be honest with you. If I didn't get help and stuff like that, and I don't know if I would potentially honestly be here, if I'm being honest. So me going to get some counselling really helped me, and especially having support of rugby lads and giving them messages when they found out that I was going through a tough time and stuff. There is nothing to hide. If you're ever struggling with any problems, always come forward and seek help. And that's the best advice I can give someone. If you are really struggling, just speak to a professional who could potentially change your life around. And it certainly changed my life around. So that's what I would say.
What about you, man?
I think Josh has just absolutely hit the nail on the head there, hasn't he? If you're struggling, please get help. You know, like Paddy the Baddy says, it's better to cry on your mate's shoulder than have your mates crying at your funeral.
Yeah.
Well, it is, yeah. So, as you're being as honest as you are, Josh, so for people that don't know, I had to retire at 26 because of a back injury that kept flaring up and required surgery, but the NHS don't do that surgery anymore, so I won't go private. I give it three goals, and after the first goal, I'd semi-promised my dad I wouldn't do it anymore because he was watching me crawl up the stairs for the piss and seeing me fucking immobilised and that at times, pardon me, friends, it weren't easy for him to see, and it weren't nice for me to see him a bit upset. Second time was again, and I promised him, I said, if it happens again, I'll retire. I was under the Walton Centre at this point then, and they weren't sure what they wanted to do, whether they were going to fuse it, replace me discs and stuff like that. And then it went again. Work then said it was either job or work. I was off work for about 6 months. They pulled me into a welfare meeting because they've got to nowadays, haven't they? They check on that. And I don't know if they were doing it on purpose or not, but they were making me walk around. Do you know where the municipal building is?
On Kingsway.
So it's the big square building on Kingsway, yeah.
Yeah.
So they had me walking round that while I was on crutches. I don't know if they were doing it on purpose to see if I was blagging or whatever. And then they made me walk across to the tax office. So it's next to the job centre or the old job centre.
Yeah.
There's a little attachment. Tom Mack's mum was working there at the time. And I had to just say, listen, I think you're taking the piss out of me. I was sweating. I was in agony. I was due me tablets and I didn't have them on me because they said it was only a quick meeting. And I got a bit agitated and frustrated in the meeting, and they recommended I go to counselling. So I had three sessions through work. Probably could have done with it years before when I just left school. I struggled with my mum and dad splitting up and stuff, and I didn't have a good time at Colts really, but you probably wouldn't have moved because Colts rugby's Colts rugby and it makes you forget a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. But anyway, I went counselling. She had me crying my eyes out in the first half an hour, and that's when I realised, so it's silly really, but I'd let my injury stop me doing things. So while I was off work, I weren't going out, because if I'd have seen someone off work going out, I'd have been like, they're blagging it, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like I had that sad mindset really. So it changed my mindset a little bit, and it got a bit of anger out, and sort of accepted where I am in life, and rugby was no longer an option for me. Hence why I initially went into coaching. But yeah, so there is avenues out there, and like you said, if you don't feel like you can speak to a doctor or someone professional, reach out to a mate like Paddy, the buddy says, and if it's not mates of mates, or there is always someone willing to listen, fellas, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%.
But fair play for being open and honest, Josh. It's not easy, mate, and all that. But hopefully it helps someone, doesn't it? I've lost a friend to suicide, and I grew up with the lad. We were 2 days apart. And I'm not saying we were in each other's pocket once we left school, because life takes you in all different avenues. But when I was told I was due to go to Vegas with Liam on, I think it was the Sunday or the Monday, and I had to stay in work, and obviously being a grave digger around that, aren't you? You're seeing names and ages on headstones, and you're in and out the crematorium, and you're having to do it, and cried my eyes out in the shower that night, because I just thought, I'm 28 and I've just lost a lad that I've grew up with. And really, touch wood, we shouldn't be doing that, should we? We shouldn't be burying mates, and I had to dig his grave and stuff, and it was shit. And it's just sad that someone at that age maybe felt like he didn't have anyone to speak to. It is a shame, but there is avenues open there, isn't there? So we're going to put a load of posts out. We're going to be tagging the lads that are involved. The link will be on it, Josh, won't it? And we have got a target, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're looking to hit it. We're all going in work with big muddies, and these lads are playing at the weekends and are watching and coaching and supporting. So, again, if anyone wants to come up and approach us on a weekend and ask us what we're doing or ask us a little bit more about our stories, I'm pretty sure we're open to it. Don't want to speak for the other lads that are not on it, but I'm pretty sure they would be as well. They're as fully invested as we are. It's just circumstances haven't allowed them on the chat tonight. But yeah, if you anything to say, fellas?
No.
Joshua?
It's like I just said, like, if you've got any issues, just seek some help, and just keep your loved ones close. And that's all I'll say about that.
Not a bad way to finish. So thanks very much, boys.
You've been listening to Trot the Eggin. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEggin and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.